When Google does anything, it does it big. But the company hit an equally big roadblock 2 weeks ago when a federal judge in New York struck down a settlement that would have allowed Google to offer every book ever written online through its Google Book service. Some for free, but most for a price.
That settlement was an intricate spider's web of deals between authors and publishers and libraries that would have governed the distribution of profits from Google's service. That the deal has been struck down comes as no surprise to at least one librarian.
We agreed that at Harvard that we would make books in the public domain, not covered by copyright, available. But there we drew the line.
That's Professor Robert Darton. He's director of the Harvard University Library, which was one of the first major players to jump ship from the Google settlement negotiations 2 years ago.
Now, the other libraries did not. They permitted Google to digitize copyrighted books, and they were quite keen on the settlement. But we were not. We thought this settlement is a commercial enterprise that could spin out of control because there are no public bodies who can monitor the prices and make sure that it doesn't become a prohibitively expensive monopoly, a monopoly of access to knowledge.
And that's more or less what Judge Denny Chin said when he struck down the settlement. Now that the future of Google Books is uncertain, Professor Darton feels the time is right to move on an idea he's been mulling for a long time, a nonprofit national digital library of all books available for free to everyone.
The library would start with non-copyrighted material. Later on, copyrighted books would be made available through the support of private donors. The idea has already attracted interest from virtually all of the nation's major foundations. Adam spoke to Robert Darton about the idea this morning at the professor's office in Wadsworth House.
Make the case. Why is this enormous project better undertaken, aside from these legal issues, by a nonprofit consortium rather than a for-profit company?
Well, I think that the cultural heritage of this country belongs to the people of this country, and it should be made available free of charge. The country needs this. It needs it for education. Community colleges, K-12 schools everywhere would be provided by this great library. It needs it for business reasons. People in small businesses need access to information to get their businesses up and running. It needs it for the enrichment of the cultural life of ordinary citizens.
So why would a nonprofit digital library not face the same legal pitfalls that seem to have, at least for the moment, put the kibosh on Google Books?
Well, it would face the same legal pitfalls up to a point. Books in the public domain, there are about 2 million of them already digitized. That would be the foundation of this future.
We're talking about Shakespeare and Milton and that kind of stuff.
Well, yes, but a lot of other stuff.
Indeed, yes.
Not just great writers and famous treatises.
But old stuff.
Our cultural heritage, basically, up to 1923. After that, the copyright laws get very complicated. A not-for-profit digital public library would face the basic problem of orphan books, that is, books that are in copyright but whose copyright owners cannot be identified. And there are millions of them. I mean, this can sound arcane, but it's big stuff. There are possibly 5 million books that fall into this category we call orphan books. So what the future digital public library needs is protection against litigation. We want to be able to digitize these books and not get sued for infringement of copyright. Congress needs to make that possible. But we would not be asking Congress for a penny. The funding of this would come from a coalition of foundations.
Well, how would it compare to your existing model? You, after all, Professor, run a bricks and mortar library. When I go to the Harvard Library and check out the latest Dan Brown masterwork. God, that would be embarrassing if I did that at the Harvard Library.
You're welcome to check out.
Thank you very much. If I were to do that, you don't then send a small check to Dan Brown every time I check out his book. How does he get paid?
Well, libraries purchase books, make those books available free of charge to their patrons. That's what a library is all about.
A library just buys the book like anybody else.
That's right.
Just sure. One time.
You made a key point, one at a time. So a digital library could broadcast hundreds of copies of a single work to readers all over not just the U.S. but the world. And in that case, there is really a problem of finding fair compensation for authors.
As we mentioned before, you are the director of a university library system, a great university library system, but it's a closed university library system.
That's right.
I actually couldn't go and check out that Dan Brown book if I wanted to. Do you risk putting yourself out of business, as it were?
No. After all, the Harvard University Library has been in business since 1638. It's not about to go away. Companies come and go. Who knows who will own Google 10 or 20 or 50 years from now?
Sure, but if I could get every volume that's in the Harvard collection online for free instantaneously, why would I bother coming down to the Widener?
Well, you know, our library rooms are more full than ever. Students are flocking into them, but they use them in different ways. Libraries are becoming, in effect, a nerve center for the diffusion of information, and it's a place of sociability as well. But I haven't really answered your question. So, suppose all of the 17 million books at Harvard were available free of charge online to everyone in the world. I would say hooray. I think that's great. I believe Harvard should share its intellectual wealth with the citizenry in general.
So Google has already digitized 15 million books, and that effort may have been rendered commercially useless by this federal court ruling that we've been talking about. Do you think that there's a possibility of them simply turning all of their work over to you out of the goodness of their heart?
I do believe that there is a strong possibility they would turn over their digital files of books in the public domain. That's about 2 million books. It seems to me that Google would lose nothing by this. It might benefit from it. Certainly it would earn a great deal of gratitude. And then furthermore, Google has enormous expertise, technical skill. I would hope we could enlist that skill in the building of this great library, and that it would not in any way be hostile to the interests of Google.
Professor Darnton, assuming everything goes right for you, how many years until your library is online?
This is something that is imminent, and we've got a whole series of steps planned that will lead to a campaign to create this digital public library of America. I think the launch will take place in next fall, possibly even the late summer. I'm quite sure it will have behind it the Library of Congress, the National Archives, the Smithsonian, other, you know, great national institutions. We will begin getting the thing built and maybe accessible possibly within 2 years, but not much more than that.
Professor Darnton, thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you.
That's Professor Robert Darnton, director of the Harvard University Library and a chief proponent of a national digital library to be free for all.
Coming up after the break, macho men. As the Village People said, they look so boss.
But is all that masculinity healthy? I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.